we are and have been in a process of raising funds and planning and going through process to build a new building right here on this property on the corner of Glenmore Drive and Route 7. So it's been many years, I think over 9 years now, and every year we like to bring it back before the congregation very explicitly and consider why it is that we're building, where do we get the notion of fundraising, and how does this all tie in with the work of the church. And today's passage, again, is, maybe I haven't mentioned it yet, it's 1 Chronicles chapter 29, so if you wanted to turn to 1 Chronicles 29. Now, it's not really that different than where we're at in 1 Samuel, because we're still dealing in 1 Chronicles 29 with David, and we're not far in 1 Samuel from being in that period of time with David. Of course, our passage today is a little bit further down the line with David. He is about to pass the baton to his son Solomon, who is going to be building a temple. Now, what we're going to see is that the things that are being spoken about in this passage were not only relevant to the people of the time who had this written for them, which is actually like some 500 years after Solomon built the temple. It was relevant to them because they were, the people who were hearing this story from 1 Chronicles were actually people who come back from exile and were in the process of rebuilding the temple under Ezra. But for us today, it's relevant, even 2,500 years later, as it gives us solid guidance on how to build as God's people for the sake of God's kingdom under our present king, the greater son of David, Jesus Christ. Let me read for us. This is about 19 verses, but it's a little bit longer. And I'm going to ask you to give your attention, though, because it is God's word. It is the sword of the Holy Spirit. Beginning in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 1. And David the king said to all the assembly, Solomon, my son, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced, and the work is great, for the palace will not be for man, but for the Lord. So I have provided for the house of my God so far as I was able, the gold for the things of gold, the silver for the things of silver, and the bronze for the things of bronze, the iron for the things of iron, and wood for the things of wood, besides great quantities of onyx stones for setting, antimony, colored stones, all sorts of precious stones and marble. Moreover, in addition to all that I have provided for the holy house, I have a treasure of my own of gold and silver, and because of my devotion to the house of my God, I give it to the house of God. 3,000 talents of gold of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver for overlaying the walls of the house, and for all the work to be done by craftsmen, gold for the things of gold and silver for the things of silver. Who then will offer willingly, consecrating himself today to the Lord? Then the leader of fathers' houses made their freewill offerings, as did also the leaders of the tribes, the commanders of thousands and of hundreds, and the officers over the king's work. They gave for the service of the house of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. And whoever had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord in the care of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced, because they had given willingly, for with a whole heart they had offered freely to Yahweh. David the king also rejoiced greatly. Therefore, David blessed Yahweh in the presence of the assembly, and David said, Blessed are you, O Yahweh, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. But who am I And what is my people that we should be able thus to offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. For we are strangers before you, and sojourners as all our fathers were. Our days on earth are like a shadow, and there is no abiding. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a house for your holy name comes from your hand and is all your own. I know, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. In the uprightness of heart, I have freely offered all these things, and now I have seen your people who are present here offering freely and joyously to you. O Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep forever such purposes and thoughts in the hearts of your people, and direct their hearts toward you. Grant to Solomon, my son, a whole heart, that he may keep your commandments, your testimonies, and your statutes, performing all, and that he may build the palace for which I have made provision. Let's pray. Father in heaven, please be with us now and teach us your word. As Jesus prayed in his high priestly prayer that was read earlier, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. A Texas pastor has been sentenced, this was just last year, he's been sentenced to 35 years in prison after it was discovered that he stole three churches in a deed fraud scheme. Whitney Foster, the pastor of the True Foundational Non-Denominational Church, was found guilty of felony theft of three separate Texas churches. First Christian Church of Lancaster, Canada Drive Christian Church, and the church at Nineveh in Dallas. Foster committed felony theft of $300,000. Why am I telling you that? Because today I'm up before you to encourage you to give of your time, yes, your talents, but even your treasure. In other words, money. And when pastors come up and they tell people to give money to the church, Satan is on your left shoulder, maybe your right, and he's saying, it's all a racket. It's only about money. The pastor just wants your money to line his pockets. So I want to start there because let's be honest, some churches do that. Some churches raise money and they do the wrong thing with it. Okay, some people think that churches are really just a big racket or a fraudulent scheme to simply get money to line the pockets of the pastors. And when I come up to preach about fundraising, there is the possibility that you're tempted to think that such a message is deeply unspiritual. I mean, you might even think money is an unspiritual thing. And maybe worse, this message is just simply a way to get money. And as I said, it's true that pastors and church leadership can abuse the call for fundraising for their own selfish gain. But on the other hand, what we should see, and I hope you'll see today, is that the Bible does encourage pastors and church leaders to encourage church members to follow their lead in giving to the church for the sake of God's mission. And so today what I want us to see from this passage is that ultimately we are to follow King Jesus' lead in giving for the building of the temple of God, the church. I want us to follow King Jesus' lead in giving for the building of the temple of God, that is, his church. We're going to look at several points today. So one is we need to share King Jesus' perspective on our possessions. We need to share King Jesus' perspective on the temple. We need to follow King Jesus' lead in giving sacrificially for the temple. And we should follow Jesus' lead with joy that comes from giving to the temple. So, let's share in King Jesus' perspective on our possessions. Understanding that everything belongs to God frames our perspective on stewardship. It should. And stewardship is just a fancy word for how we use the resources that we have at our disposal. In verse 11, David prayed, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours." Here King David rightly affirms the truth that is inherent in Genesis chapter 1, that God is the maker of all things and the owner of all things. We might have this wrong notion that everything's just neutral and it belongs to nobody in particular until we get it and then it's all ours, but that is not the truth. God owns it all. And his prayer also rightly affirms that all that we have then is from him. In verses 12 and 14, he says, "All things come from God. The physical possessions that we have are given to us by God to be used for his glory and his honor, for his mission to be made known throughout the earth. That's why we have what we have." And that goes for everybody in the world. I mean, the call to live for God's glory is a call upon humanity from the very beginning. It's clearly set out in Genesis 1 and 2. "Since God made man in his image to use the resources of the earth for God's good purposes." But sadly, due to humanity's sinful condition, humanity does not use what has been given by God to explicitly glorify and honor him. But God graciously works in the hearts and minds of his people by the Holy Spirit to give us the right perspective. So 29:18, David gives thanks to God for this work of his grace in the hearts of his chosen people, so that we have the perspective we ought to have on our possessions. He says in verse 18, "O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep forever such purposes and thoughts in the hearts of your people." And that includes this perspective, King Jesus' perspective, ultimately, on our possessions. God continues to work in the hearts and minds of his people to this very day, even in the church. As Paul writes to the Philippians, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure." So thanks be to God that we share this perspective of Jesus on our possessions. So therefore, having been given Jesus' perspective on the things that we own, we ought to use what we have for the triune God's purpose in all of life. Stewarding our resources for God's honor and glory is about more, though, than giving to the church. It's about how we use what we have at all times in our lives. 1 Corinthians 10:31, "So whether you eat or you drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." So all of your money, and all of your purchases, all of your things, your car, your house, all of it is to be being used for the glory of God. But the work of God's grace in our lives ought to lead us not only to use our money wisely in general. Like, yeah, go buy the boba tea, but maybe don't buy like 10 a day, right? You're using your money. Yes, God wants us to enjoy the things of life. You've got to think carefully about how to use your possessions in general for his glory. But we also need to specifically give a portion of our money to the work of the institutional church, the temple of God's people who gather for worship and fellowship and prayer, the breaking of bread, and learning from the apostles. So we also need to share King Jesus' perspective on not just our possessions, but on the temple. Now, the temple that King David spoke of was, at that time, the dwelling place of God. This is where God, whom heaven and earth cannot contain, nevertheless, in some special way, lived amongst his people. He moved into the neighborhood in the temple. It was where people would enjoy close communion with God and was to be the center from which all of their life flowed. But the greater Son of David, King Jesus, has ushered us into a time where there is no longer a physical temple. The Apostle Paul, in fact, states today that the people of God are the people of God are the living stones of the temple of God, because he dwells in us by his Holy Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 2, 21 and 22, Paul writes that we are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone that holds all of it together, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by his Holy Spirit. Now, of course, the church building that we're asking you to give to, whether that be time, talent, or treasure, is not the spiritual temple of God. But the church building is a tool to be used by God for the sake of the true temple of God, the church of King Jesus. You know, if you think about the old temple in the Old Testament, they used all of these things to build the walls and to build the hangings and to even build tables like and forks and things to be used, instruments and tools to be used in the temple of God. And you can kind of think about the church building like that. It's a tool for the sake of the true temple, the people. It will become a tool in the hands of Jesus, the master builder. In Matthew 16, 18, Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So we give in order to give King Jesus a tool, the church building. And in King Jesus' hands, the church building will be of use in building his spiritual temple for many generations to come. I have my grandfather's old tools downstairs in our house. And they're really cool, because you don't see tools like this every day. They're old. Many of them are severely outdated. Although they can do the job, I don't really use them that much. Because, why? I have better ones to do the job now. Modern tools. But Jesus can continue to use this building, and he will continue to use this building. We're not getting rid of it. That's not the plan. But we want to give him an updated tool, if you will, for the purpose of building his church, building his temple, the spiritual people of God. And can you dream and imagine how Jesus will use your gifts of time, talent, and treasure to build his people temple? This multi-ethnic, multicultural people on into the future right here, how Jesus will use that to build his spiritual temple through this church. So sharing King Jesus' perspective helps us to see why we should give of our time and talents and treasure for the church building project. But we should also follow King Jesus' lead in actually giving. So follow King Jesus in giving sacrificially for the temple. Now, King David is a foreshadow. Similar to King Jesus, he gave sacrificially. In 29, 2 and 3, look there in your Bibles, 29, 2 and 3, David said, so I have provided for the house of my God so far as I was able, the gold for the things of gold and so on. Verse 3, moreover, in addition to all that I have provided for the holy house, I have a treasure of my own gold and silver, and because of my devotion to the house of God, I give it to the house of my God. David emphasized that he gave sacrificially, since he even gave from his own personal bank account, and not just from the public treasury. The public treasury is what he's pulling from in that first section. But then he says, I have my own bank account, guys. And I went into my own bank account and I gave personally and sacrificially for the sake of the building of God's temple. In other words, King David gave according to what he was able and even sacrificially. And King David also emphasizes throughout that he gives from a willing heart. He gives from the inside out. This word heart shows up all over this passage. He says, I know, my God, that you test the heart. And in the uprightness of my heart, I have freely offered. But here's the thing. King Jesus went far beyond King David. From a heart filled with love, King Jesus gave sacrificially to make us a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit, to make us the temple of God. Jesus' whole life was about this work, and he did so from a heart that loved God above all and wanted to promote God's purposes through God's people. On the night in which Jesus was betrayed to be crucified for our sins, he prayed about us and said to God the Father, for their sake I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. Jesus consecrated himself, or set himself aside as a holy offering to God, so that we might become a people like himself too. Jesus gave himself to us as a free gift in order to build the temple of God. And when Christ gave everything for us through his death on the cross, he guaranteed that God's chosen would be given the gift of eternal life by the Holy Spirit. In other words, Jesus gave everything necessary to build the temple, and he did so as a free gift to us from a heart of love. And part of the gift, part of that free gift, is that we get to become like our King, share in his perspective, follow his lead. He wants us to follow his lead and give willingly, cheerfully, sacrificially for the upbuilding of the temple of God. And again, your time, your talents, your treasure for the church building is one important way that you can follow King Jesus' lead. Obviously, maybe that means you make money. Obviously, maybe that means that you are going to make a pledge to give a certain amount by the end of the year. But obviously, not all of you have jobs, because some of you are in the sixth grade and you're thinking, Pastor Tim, why are you telling me this? What can I give? Can you pray? Then you are giving the thing that Jesus counts even more valuable than money, I think. If you don't have money, you can pray for the church building. Maybe once a week you set a timer on your alarm clock. You don't need phones until you get out of high school, really. I mean, if you have one, it's okay. But you can use an alarm clock, you know? Set an alarm. You guys know what those are? Set an alarm clock, and it tells you once a week, and you say, oh, my alarm went off, I'm going to pray for the church building. Or maybe, youth, I'm talking to you, 6th graders, 7th graders, 8th graders, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th graders, maybe you can start a prayer group just for the church building. And you get everybody else on the Zoom call once a month, and you guys pray for the church building. That would be truly pleasing in the sight of your King. We also should follow King Jesus' lead with joy that comes from giving to the temple. You know, there's joy there. If there's anything that we might be tempted to think is joyless, it's taking that dollar out of our pocket and giving it to somebody. That's like the most joyless action in my life, right? Oh, ow, right? That hurt is painful. But here's the reality. 29:9 teaches us the truth. Then the people rejoiced because they had given willingly, for with a whole heart they had offered freely to the Lord. The truth is that giving to the work of God's church from the heart actually leads to joy. And this is, maybe I like this part better. 29:9 goes further. It says, David the king also rejoiced greatly. Do you know that when we give for the sake of the temple of the living God, even for building a tool for the hands of the master builder, King Jesus, and we do so and we have joy in doing so, it also delights King Jesus. And maybe we just need to talk about this in bigger terms. Do you know that Jesus Christ delights in us? Do you know that Jesus, He delights in your efforts to promote the cause of God in the world? Do you know He smiles over you? Do you know He sings and hums as He goes about heaven, doing whatever He is doing at different times? And I love Tim to Tim. I mean, I don't know how. That's probably not a very... Imagine Jesus. He loves you and He delights when you do His will. And part of that is when you give freely, from a heart, willingly, for the purpose and service of the church. King David also rejoiced greatly, and so does Christ. And we can give our King Jesus joy today as we begin by giving our prayers for the whole project. All right, here's how it will work. I'll read a short reflection from our sermon today and then begin our time of prayer. And then, after I've prayed, I'm going to invite you all to pray in your hearts for about a minute. Okay? So I'm going to read a reflection. I'm going to pray a short prayer, but then I'm going to invite you to join in the work of prayer for the church building. And you can pray quietly based on that reflection and that prayer. And I'm just going to go through the points of the sermon today. So the first point was, we need to share King Jesus' perspective on our possessions. Let's pray. Father, the world around us thinks that things are neutral and up for grabs. But as a church, we know that You own it all, and that our possessions are to be used for Your purposes. Grant us to have King Jesus' perspective on our things. Let us see that all that we have is to be used for Your glory. Let us remember that money or the things of this world are not better than knowing You. And we offer You our prayers now. Our second reflection is that we are to share King Jesus' perspective on the temple, the people of God. Let's pray. O God, help us to see that we're not simply religious people or people who go to church on Sunday. Let us more fully share in Your perspective, King Jesus, that we are the temple of the living God, the dwelling place of the Most Holy Spirit, built by the power of Your blood. And we offer our silent prayers now. Third reflection, that we're to follow King Jesus' lead in giving sacrificially for the temple. Let's pray. King Jesus, You gave everything to build Your temple, and You are still at work building it. Work deeply in us, the living stones of Your temple, by Your Spirit, so that we also will follow Your lead and give sacrificially from our hearts for the sake of the church, even the church building. And we offer our prayers now. fourth reflection. That we're to follow King Jesus' lead with joy that comes from giving to the temple. Let's pray. Father, we long for true joy. And we know that you have shown us that joy will follow when we give from knowledgeable and willing hearts. Further, we know that when we give, it makes you happy. Help us to remember that you smile upon us at CCCBA as we give for the sake of the church building. And we offer our prayers now. O Lord our God, O Christ our King, lead us forth. Let the work be done. Bring forth the generosity, bring forth the prayers, bring forth the talents. Let us find the right general contractor and finish the work of architecture, and let us start digging and building. Give us encouragement and joy as we see the fruit of many, many years of sacrificial giving. But at the end of it all, let our joy be in you above all, Lord. Do this divine work in us. Let us count everything as rubbish in comparison to knowing Christ Jesus our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.